Tonight, I want to turn our attention to another time that Nehemiah prays, chapter number 9 of the book of Nehemiah. The Bible tells us in verse number 1, it is a time of a solemn assembly. They got the sackcloth and the ashes out. It's a sober time. And for some reason or another, in verse number 4, they break out in worship. And they go to adoring God. The latter part of verse number 4 said they cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. The Bible said in the latter part of verse number 5, they stood up and blessed the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and all praise. I'd like to look at this chapter tonight in Nehemiah's prayer. And let us see some thoughts tonight on a prayer of adoration unto God. Prayer of adoration unto God. This thing of adoring God. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, God forbid I'd be nosy. Are you up to date on your adoring of God? I give you Oxford's English definition of the little word adore, and then you sort of find out and figure out in your own heart if you're up to date with adoring Him. Oxford defines the little word adore as to regard with much love, to take great pleasure in, to desire more than all others, to a highly esteem above anything else. I was wondering tonight if you was up to date on adoring Him. As we unpack this text, I notice that they adore Him for who He is. Who He is. I notice in verses 4 and verse number 5, we have before us the temples of adoration. There are 8 priest mentioned in this text. Some believed it was 8 different groups. And in unison, they lifted up their voices and began to give Him loud voices of adoration. I know some of you don't like loudness. You won't like heaven either because it's going to be loud over there. The Jews were loud over there. You get a bunch of Jews over there, they're going to be loud over there too. And they lift up their voices with loud voices unto Him. 8 groups, 8 is a number of beginnings. But what I'm interested in is what led to this adoration. We have this temple of adoration. But I notice in verse number 3, the time of this adoration. What has happened that has caused them to bust forth? Because I noticed tonight, while these folks were singing, while the choir was saying, ain't nobody here bust forth. In the woo! Wonder why? In verse number 3 it says, and they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord God 1/4 part of the day. Another 1/4 part of the day they confessed. And the little phrase, another 1/4 part of the day, they worshiped the Lord God. For so 6 hours a day, they read the Bible. 6 hours a day, they stood and confessed their sins. When is the last time you had a Baptist church and people started standing up and confessing their sins publicly? Oh, we'll come down here and pss, pss, pss. No, we'll do that. None of that public confession. Because if you public confess it, somebody's going to see you do it again and say, oh, you didn't confess nothing. And then they worshiped for 6 hours. There's only 24 hours in a day. I figure, you correct me if I'm wrong, I figure they slept the other 6. But after reading the Bible for 6 hours, confessing for 6 hours and worshiping 6 hours, they break out in adoration of Him. There is the timing, the temple of adoration. But I see there is the testimony of adoration. What do they testify about Him? They said in verse number 6, Thou, even Thou art Lord alone. Jehovah, Yahweh, the great I Am. It's not Buddha. It's not the Hindu God. It's not Allah. It is the Lord alone. I'm quit tired of walking around on eggshells around all these people. No, it's Him alone. He wants all the adoration. Or if He can't have it all, He don't want none of it. He said He is Lord God alone. He says, I have made the heaven. He said, not only did I make the heaven, He said, I made the heavens of heaven. Oh, Paul said there was three heavens. And he said, I made all three of them. He says, and with all the host of the earth and all things that are therein, the sea and all that is in therein, Thou preservest them all. I love that little word, preservest. It's an interesting word. It is our little word. We get our little word glue from. Wow. He said, it is not America that's holding the world together. He said, I'm the one that's holding it together. He said, if I ever step out of here, she's going to blow. Hey! Tell the Jehovah's Witnesses they're going to inherit the earth. Tell them to hold on. She's fixing to blow. Are you listening to me tonight? He said, I'm the one that holds it together. And not only that, He says, and the host of heaven worshipeth Thee. That little word worship means to bow, to stoop, to prostrate before Him with great and loud words of adoration. I wonder what would happen tonight with these two churches if you would start setting some time alone each day at your house, and you'd have time for reading the Word of God, you'd have time for confessing your sins, you'd have time for worship. You'd do it on Monday, you'd do it on Tuesday, you'd do it on Wednesday, you get over there Wednesday night, woo, it blow. You do it again on Thursday, you do it again on Friday, you do it again on Saturday, get over there to the house of God on Sunday, keep blow again. Amen. Instead of doing this. Are we up to date on our adoring of Him? I did not know if you noted it or not, but for all eternity we're not going to do this. Oh no, we're going to do what they were doing. That He said that's what they were doing in heaven. He said all the host of heaven are bowing and prostrating themselves with loud words of adoration. I don't know about you, if I'm going to do something, I want to practice it before I get there. Huh? You ever played basketball with somebody that ain't never played basketball before? Oh, son, they'll make a mess of you. When you get to heaven and they see you raising your hand for the first time, they going to be able to tell, he ain't never done it. You can say, hell, he just, huh?
That's all right.
Adoration for who He is. But I see in our text in chapter 9 and verse 7, Nehemiah in his prayer, he begins to be amazed at what He has done. I thought it was interesting what he placed at the top of the list of what God has done. Verse number 7, he says, Thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abraham. Wow. You say, well, that was Abraham. The Bible tells us in Galatians, Paul speaking, he said that Abraham was the father of the faith. And he says, if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. So he begins to make this list of the things that God did for Abraham. But he mentions in verse number 8, right down to the latter part of verse number 8, and to his seed. So all these things that Nehemiah is getting excited about that God did for Abraham, if you're saved tonight, He did them for you.
Amen.
That verse 7 said He chose Abraham. That little word means to pick. It says it means to prefer one over another. It means to say, I want that one. Wow. Do you know the only reason you are really endeared to your mate tonight is because they picked you? That just still excites you. And you know, a lot of you can't understand why in the world it happened. And the longer you're married, sometimes you wonder, why in the world did I pick them? And they're wondering, why in the world did I pick them? And God may be wondering why in the world He picked you. But He still did pick you. If you're saved. Of course, as being a fat boy all my life, I never got picked. Oh, no, the only time I ever heard Gillum's name mentioned, we'll take Gillum if you give us first bat. That's the only time I ever got picked. Huh? But to know one day in July 1968, He come by there and saved my soul. He said, I chose you before the foundation of the world, placed you in my Son. And He said, I want you to be mine. He said, I know you can't back. He said, I know you're a mess. I know I have to keep my eye on you all the way, but I still want you. And all He wants out of me is me to adore Him. How could we do less tonight than make prayer a priority after He picked us? But I notice in this text, not only did He choose us, but He says in verse number 8, and found us His heart faithful. Oh, tonight, God knows our heart. I hear people all the time, sometimes my wife and I will jokingly say to one another, well, God knows my heart. Huh? I don't know about you, that's what scares me. Huh? Because He does say, you don't know your own heart. But He says He knows it. I don't know about you, mine's pretty wicked. He says He knows it. He found Abraham's heart faithful. He says in verse number 9, and God did us see the afflictions of our fathers. I tell you tonight, for God's people tonight, He is looking your way. He is looking at what you're going through. It has not missed His eye. He knows every little affliction you're traveling through. Well, what does He want out of me? All He wants you to do is adore Him. Huh? All He wants you to do is spend much time adoring Him and loving Him. He said not only did He see the affliction, He says in verse number 10, and God show us signs and wonders upon Pharaoh. He said in verse number 11, He divided the sea. I tell you, He can still divide our situation. He can still make a plain path through our situation. He can still get us out of our messes tonight. What does He want out of me? He must have an ulterior motive. Yes, He does. He wants to be adored. Simple. He says in verse number 12, moreover, thou leddest them in a day by a cloudy pillar, and then a night by a pillar of fire. My, He had a sun's a screen over top of them in the daytime. They didn't have to get number 30 and 35 sunscreen. No, they had a cloud over them during the daytime. They didn't have to start a fire at night to try to stay warm. They had one over above. I hear tell, you tell me, when you got a fire above, heat drops. Ain't that a good God, ain't it? Huh? Well, what does He want out of me? He just wants you to adore Him. Huh? He said, I got it all covered. He says here in verse number 13, thou camest down. Oh, how many times has God come down in my situation? He said in verse 14, and God made us known unto them. How many times has God showed me the way? He said in verse number 15, and He gave them bread. How many times has God fed me? Have you ever calculated in your lifetime how many times you've asked the blessing that God has supplied your need? What does He want out of me? He just wants you to adore Him. What is the definition of adore again? He said it means to regard with much love, to take great pleasure in, to desire more than all others, to highly esteem above all other things tonight. That's what he wants. He says in verse number 17, but thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of a great kindness. Oh, simply tonight, that God took all of my sin, as the songwriter said, my sin not in part, but the whole. He nailed it to the cross, and I bear it no more. The psalmist said he took my sin and he slung it as far as the east is from the west. East and west don't have any poles. My sin can't ever get back with me. My past sins are gone. My present sins are gone. My future sins are gone. He must have an ulterior motive. What is it? Yeah, he wants to be adored. He wants prayer to be a priority in our lives. And I notice in verse number 15, number 20, he says, thou gavest also thy good spirit. On top of all that, he gave us the Holy Ghost as a down payment for the coming rewards. Verse number 22, moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations. He's given us authority. God's people have authority over everything. Washington is not over us. We're over Washington. Obama's not over us. We're over Obama. This world is not over us. We're over this world. How can we impart it to one another? Adore Him is the only way to do it. You would think between verse 8 and verse 22, after all He has done for them, you would think somebody would stand up and say, you know what? I think I'm going to adore Him right here in public. I think I'm just going to shout and give Him glory. You would think that would happen. You would think with a crowd as vast as this tonight, somebody, while I was mentioning verses 8 through 22, somebody would have jumped up and said, glory to God, He chose me. Glory to God, He picked me. Glory to God, He did some of that stuff for me. But don't worry. Don't worry. I notice, third of all tonight, there is an abasement for what we have done. I notice in verse number 26, there is the actions that need abasement. Nevertheless, that little word, nevertheless, in the midst or in the light of all these things, after all that God has done between verse 7 and verse 22, all of these things that He has done for them, all He wants them to do is adore Him. And the Bible says they were disobedient and rebelled against Him and cast the law behind their backs. Wow. Hey, we ain't talking about rednecks from Georgia and North Carolina. We're talking about people that have seen God almost face to face. They know what it is to be chosen. They know what it is to have seas parted. They know what it is to have daily bread. They know what it is to have clouds over their head and pillars of fire at night. But yet, instead of adoring Him, they put Him in their back. Disobedience. Actions that need abasement. But I notice in verse 27, there is additional things that cause abasement. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies who vex them. Hey, you ever given any idea as to why all of this crowd's coming after us from these Arab countries? Answer to your questions in verse number 27. He said, I have delivered you over to your enemies. He said, they're going to come in like a flood and destroy you. He said, have you got any idea how we could stop it? Yeah, go to adoring me. Go to esteeming me higher than all others. Go to giving me much love, both publicly and privately. He says in verse number 27, "And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee." Additional reasons. Says in verse number 29, "Testified against them that thou mightest bring them again unto the law. If they dealt proudly and hearkened unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them." Here's a horrible thought. He said, "And I withdrew my shoulder." I don't know that God's not telling us tonight, "I'm quitting carrying you. I've been carrying you since the foundation of your country. I've been carrying you on my shoulders." He said, "I'm withdrawing them tonight." He said, "You can come with your stone face and listen to preaching, listen to singing. Sit there like a bump on a log." He said, "That's no problem." He said, "I'm going to remove my shoulders." He said, "You're going to adore me or else." Are you listening to me tonight? There's a prayer of adoration. There is the abasement for what they have done. But I notice in this text, there is an allurement into abasement. He begins to allure them. Verse number 27, "When they cried, He heard, He sent a Savior." He says in verse number 30, "Yet many years didst thou forbear them." God is so long-suffering. He's still long-suffering with us tonight. We talk about long-suffering with sinners. I'm telling you tonight, it ain't God being long-suffering with sinners. He being long-suffering with God's people. Long-suffering with us. Patient with us. He's wanting us to get up to date in our adoration, our adoring of Him. He says in verse number 31, He said, "Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God." He's plentiful in mercy. He's great in mercy. Mercy is withholding from us what we deserve. Amen. I don't know how much longer He'll withhold it. All He's well, what in the world does He want us to do? We're busy people. All He wants you to do is to adore Him. Huh? Give Him much love, much attention. He says there, what is He doing? He is alluring them. He says in verse number 32, "Now therefore our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, keep us covenant in mercy. Let not all the troubles seem little before Thee. Hath come upon us and on our kings and on our princes, on our priests, on our prophets, on our fathers, and on all the people since the time of the days of the kings of Assyria." He's alluring them, trying to pull them back to abase themselves and adore Him. He says in verse 33, "Howbeit thou art just in all that is brought upon us." Hey, they begin to come to their senses. They said, "We have got what we deserve," He says in verse 33. "Thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly." When is the last time you heard an American say that we're getting what we deserve with these countries coming in here like this on a flood? See, we think we're right, they're wrong. Huh? God's using them to bring us down. All He wants us to do is adore Him. Give Him all the attention. He says, "I have brought them in." He says that they are just in what they have done. He says in verse number 36, "Behold, we are servants this day and for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof. Behold, we are our servants in ye." In verse 38, "And because of all this, we make a sure covenant with you." In verse 37, the Bible says that He left them in great distress. It seems as though it was too little, too late. He was trying to allure them back to adoring Him and lifting Him up high. But it seems as though they didn't. But it seems as though as the text ends, the prayer ends, not only is there an adoration for who He is, what He has done, an abasement for what they have done, but it seems as though they make an agreement on what they should do. I wonder tonight if you would even contemplating agreeing with me on what we should do. One thing I think we might would want to do is in chapter number 9, verse number 5, to realize tonight that He is worthy of double thanks. He's not worthy of just a thank you. He's worthy of double thanks. The Bible says in verse number 5, in the latter part, they exalted Him above all blessing and praise. That is double thanks tonight. The little word blessing means to kneel or bow with the palms extended upward. The little word praise means to celebrate, to burst forth in words of hallelujah, to act clamorously foolish in public. He is worthy of double of that tonight. Would you agree with me that He is worthy of that? You say, I'm going to do that when I get to heaven. I doubt it. Worthy of double thanks. But I notice in chapter number 9 in this agreement, not only is there a worthy of double thanks, but there is a writing of declaring treaty. They said in verse number 38 in a writing, they said, and because of all this, because of all that He has done for us, we make a sure covenant and we write it down. I want to make a sure covenant with God. I want to try to each day spend time reading, confessing, worshiping, adoring Him. I want to be doing it every day so that last day I am here and I step out on that shore, it will not be hard for me to continue what I have already been doing day after day, week after week, month after month. I want to make that promise tonight. But then I notice not only is He worthy of double thanks, they're making an agreement. There's a writing of declaring treaty. There is a walk, chapter number 10, verse 29. There is a walk in demonstrating truth. They clave to their brothers, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God. They decided, as long as we're left here, we want to walk in this book. Oh, I want to read this book. Spend time to in my daily life confessing my sins. I want to spend time worshiping and adoring Him. There is a prayer of adoration. You can only fuel your passion for Christ. I can only get close to Christ. I can only press towards Him. I can only get nearer to Him as I make prayer a priority in my life. And when I do, there will be times that I want to adore Him. Do you remember what that definition of adore was? It means to regard with much love, to take great pleasure in, to desire more than all others, to highly esteem above all things.